Miss any of Today FM Breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the Catch Up podcast now.
Ladies and gentlemen. 104.1.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
Today FM
Podcast. It's a podcast.
Oh, wow.
Now you do a song, Grant.
Who's going to podcast? You're going to podcast. We're going to podcast. Yeah.
That's your turn, Ed.
Is that a song or are you making up songs?
We're making up.
Don't overthink it.
We're just from our heart. Come on, Ed. Make one up from your heart.
Yesterday I listened to a podcast and then I realized that my test results weren't great.
Those two don't really sound that connected.
That's the word.
So I kind of enjoyed it.
You said think of a song.
Creativity comes in all shapes and forms.
You weren't even singing. You were just lengthening out your words.
And now I'm worried you've got like some sort of weird disease and we sit next to one another all day, every day.
That was a character in that song.
Well.
That wasn't me.
Pretty truthy to me.
What's the correlation between listening to a podcast and getting test results?
Don't overthink it.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
My song was so beautiful from the heart, and so was Grant.
Your song was just the word podcast.
And it was beautiful.
He's made no sense. Of the three songs, which is the one we're still talking about?
Well, yours, because it's the third time you've had a prostate check this week. Come on, mate.
Yours is the only cheerleader of podcast songs. So shit, but everyone's talking about it. Oh, I think that I found
I love that song.
A cheerleader. It's better than that when I need her.
Has he ever made another track?
Never.
Of course he would never.
He had another song called Hula Hoop. All me.
Sound the same, didn't it?
Give us a bit of Hula Hoop.
Okay.
Oh, that's cheerleader.
Great song.
French horn at the start.
Not enough French horn, right?
We need more French horn.
All right. So this is, the chorus to Hula Hoop. It's a bit of fun. And obviously, you know, the cheerleader.
Great song.
Do you know he wrote it though, and it was like no one even cared, and then someone remixed it and made it famous. So he didn't even make it the good version of Cheerleader.
Oh, okay. It's a good mix.
Without,
oh,
but without his,
that's a bit of fun, isn't it?
Like a hula hula. We should play this on the show tomorrow. Jace is here, our boss. Can we play Omi's seminal classic?
Your microphone's on. Do you want to be on the podcast?
Not a chance.
Let's vote. Okay, there's five of us. I vote yay, Ed.
No, for me.
Oh, you just f***ed it up.
You are a little shit.
I flipped.
You're the one who was all like, I love Hula Hoop.
I want Cheerleader. I prefer Cheerleader.
All right, well, can we do Cheerleader by Omi Jace? I'll talk to Kiri. Okay, he's going to talk to the music.
Oh, she's a bit of her birthday today. She's not going to want to actually have any proper conversation.
How about that? Piss off. Do you get me a present?
She will want a present.
Oh.
One of the labels sent me champagne for good ratings yesterday. We'll give her the champagne.
Yeah, good one.
Happy birthday, Dale.
You've got to get closer to the microphone, mate, if you need
her
to speak.
The present is you guys talking about her in the podcast.
That's true.
You're famous.
So maybe we will get...
Yeah, I reckon Cheerleader's happening.
Cheerleader tomorrow.
Yeah.
More music, more variety, more Omi, Today FM. Why not?
More Grant doing the French horn. It's good.
Sounds like...
Very good with the brass instruments, isn't he? Okay, so hang on, you spoke to her and?
Yes, Omni, us. Omi, first song tomorrow.
Which one? Which one?
Cheerleader.
We're still okay?
And I will have a surprise around the song.
I love it.
Hopefully it's not actually Omi on the show because he's a bit of a dud chat. This is longer than the actual podcast.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're still going. I've gone
home.
Chat and
yeah,
back.
Should we wrap it up? Yeah.
Wrap it up.
All right, okay.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Today FM Breakfast.
Maybe it's a brand new day.
Grant Denyer, Ed Cavalli and Ash London.
One, two, three,
go!
The rest of my life gonna start today.
Well, hello there, Sydney. Good morning. Welcome to Grant, Ed and Ash. Good morning to you, Ash London, Mr. Ed Carverley.
Good to be here. What have you got for me personally?
Big day for you, mate. Dan Reed, the director of Leaving Neverland, is coming on the show to discuss the amazing documentary that is sweeping the world.
Yeah, because so many people are saying it was one-sided, but he might have a very different view of that. He's going to answer some of the burning questions.
It was one-sided, though, because you've only got two dudes in it that were affected by Michael Jackson's treatment and nobody else. Yeah. But they are compelling stories.
But no documentary is objective. There's never been an objective documentary. Everything takes a position.
You're right, because documentaries aren't courtrooms. There isn't, there isn't both sides of the story necessarily. But it's still a very interesting one, which we're going to love. $10,000 for Alpha Bucks.
Yep, that's going to
happen. $104,000 as well for The Secret Sound.
And it's Westy Wednesday today. So if you head down to the Shed in Parramatta from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, the first 100 people will score a free brekkie roll.
100?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rob Shahady, the unofficial mayor of Parramatta, is going to be there.
Okay, so it's big time. It's big time.
Got a celebrity endorser at this point, so we've gone neck lev.
8 o'clock, the Shed Cafe in Parramatta, and just on the cash, as well as all the other money that you could win this morning, an instant $1,000 and tickets to Derby Day. When you hear this... play in the middle of a song. Could
now let's hear Granny do his boogle.
It's very good.
Can you try, Ed?
No,
so come on, mate. Just try.
Mouth instruments aren't my strong point, but I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
Go
on.
Wow.
Yeah, he was right.
Pretty bad.
When you hear that in the middle of a song, you call us 13 10 60. $1,000 could be yours. All right,
you have
let's
to put the
going.
Screens up around my boogle.
Put it down.
The race to be Australia's worst parent is a tight one. Clubhouse leader was yesterday that woman who'd left her child and got on a plane.
Oh, I saw that.
That will 100% be me.
What have I got? I've got my phone, I've got my iPad. I feel like I'm missing something. Child in the terminal.
That, shocker. But
not surprising because people are tired. I get it. No judgment, lady.
I'm going. There's a spare infant in the departure lounge. Not good. Not good. But this guys, if I could be serious for a mo.
Oh, okay.
Just a short mo, because Australia's worst parent, unfortunately, and I don't like doing this, but this is a public broadcast, and our job is to tell the truth.
Uh-oh. Where are you going with this?
Australia's worst parent is Tiffany Hall from TIFXO.
What? You're outing your wife? I hope she's asleep, mate. I hope this isn't going on our Instagram account.
She's going to high kick you to the temple.
She'll TIFXO you.
I got home yesterday afternoon. And she'd been playing and looking after the baby. She'd been doing some filming in the morning. We're sort of doing the swap, the handover, that type of thing. And I noticed that he had some new words that she was very excited about. Now, I'm going to play you a little grab of me taking him up the stairs. And I want you to try and see if you can pick out at least one of my son Arnold, 18 months, new words.
We? We?
Buck.
Oh. We?
Yep, okay, that's for me. Yeah. Okay, so...
I think I heard a we, and I think I heard an up, and then I think I heard something else.
I heard a word that rhymes with truck.
Should we hear that word that you heard a couple of times? Please take it away, 18-month-old Arnold.
Buck.
Oh, yeah. Now she
Tiff
maintains.
Got a potty mouth?
Tiff maintains that he is saying buck, right?
Buck.
How would you use that in a sentence when you're that age?
Was Uncle Buck on the television that day? That's the only excuse for him saying buck.
Can we hear buck one more time, please, Arnold?
Buck.
Yeah, that. She,
oh my.
She, Australia's worst parent. is trying to claim that is buck, and then later on, I took a toy off him, and he called me a bunt.
No, he didn't. You're lying.
He did not. He
did. Don't spread rumors about TIFXO.
Go west, where the chicken's best. Go west, where the chips are fresh. Go west, Habibi, you'll be blessed. Go west.
Yola, let's get dressed. Yay. Westy Wednesday, and like every Wednesday here on the show, we shout 100 people out west a free meal. And today we're doing brekkie, GD.
Ah, and what kind of brekkie are we looking for?
B&E rolls. Yes. People call it that, B&E rolls.
Rolls. I think so. Breakfast rolls. And today it is the iconic Vushed in a Parramatta MC.
Mm-hmm. Macquarie Street, you can find it, the V by Crown building in Para, and it's going to happen this morning. From 8 o'clock.
My mouth is watering at the mere idea of a bacon and egg roll or a breakfast roll of some kind.
Yeah.
No better way to start the day.
Rob Shahady will be there as well. He's our official correspondent.
Wow.
So last week he came to Fully to Bully and the tradies were lining up get a photo with the fat pizza guy. It was amazing. Oh,
but good. It did mean that we only gave away 98
meals.
Oh, because he had three. So maybe get there at 8 just as Rob gets there to ensure that you get something.
Westy Wednesday today, 8 o'clock. Be there for your brekkie roll. First 100 people through the door will pick it up. The Shed Cafe Parramatta. Great coffee and delicious home-style meals.
Legends. Home West. Stars, what you want.
Look them up home on Insta. Style. At The Shed Parramatta. It's 6.30 on Today FM Breakfast.
The classics never go out of style at Derby Day. April 6th at Royal Randwick.
Why that confused face, Ed Cavalli?
I was thinking about the song Horses.
Yeah.
And I was trying to remember in the film clip if he was running on the beach with the horses or if they were in a separate shot.
I don't remember them being together.
I think it's separate. Yeah. OH&S.
Who's the lady?
Oh, don't do this. This is one of those questions.
Not Margaret Ehrlich, was it?
Yes. You know who'll know? Chris from Idle Park. Hey, Chris.
G'day.
Well, g'day, mate. You're 26 years old, correct?
That's correct.
You would have seen the horses film clip a number of times. What? Who was the woman in the film clip, buddy?
I wasn't even born when this song came out.
Just so you know, this isn't the competition either, Chris, that you've entered. No.
It was Margaret
Ehrlich. Hey, Margaret Ehrlich.
I don't know who that is. Who's that?
She had a couple of tracks.
The horses.
She had a couple of tracks.
I'm so young, I wouldn't know, you know. There's no Britney.
Yeah, okay. We're leaving Chris hanging. Should we let him
Sorry, Chris. You've heard the bugle. Grant, give us a rendition. You've called 131060 and you have won yourself $1,000. Good on you, buddy.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
The big dog. What are you going to spend your thousand on?
I got to split with my mates at work, so we'll go three ways with it and have a good afternoon.
Oh,
because they're my mate, that's why.
Oh. Yeah, because you're going to go. And you got tickets, though? They're going to the races?
Off to Derby Day as well.
Yeah, cool. Sounds fun.
Hey, do you know what? Hey, Chris, you didn't hear this from me, but you can really get hold of some very classy company at the races.
What the hell are you talking about, Ed?
With $1,000, I'll live like a king. Don't worry about it.
That's right. That's where you can look rich. That's what I was getting at. When I was Chris's age and didn't have much, I wore a suit and I looked semi-rich.
It sounded like you were insinuating he should pay for an escort with his $1,000. That's what it sounded like.
From what I know of Chris, he would be with escorts probably less than six times a year.
It's a scurrilous accusation.
The classics never go out of style at Derby Day. April 6th, Royal Randwick.
It's going to be a great day.
Let's move on.
Miss any of Today FM Breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the catch-up podcast now.
Ladies and gentlemen. 104.1.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
Today FM.
Got our chat coming up with Dan Reed from the director of Leaving Neverland. It's obviously going mental around the world. Two-part series on Channel 10.
About this. Yeah, aren't they? Everyone.
And I can't believe, I haven't seen the second half of it, but having watched the first half, I can't believe how yet it's still divisive it is and how people are still on the fence.
Because people love MJ so much. They do not want to believe he was a bad guy because it makes people feel bad themselves. It's personal. It's emotional.
We're going to play to Dan Reed the defense that Michael Jackson's niece, Brandy Jackson, gave us personally yesterday. And Aaron Carter overnight has come out and said that nothing happened when he slept in the same bed as Michael Jackson. We're going to play that to Dan Reed. So hopefully we're going to give him the chance to say, this is exactly what's been going on.
And can I just say, having a daughter who's 7 years of age is the same age as these kids who were abused in the documentary. That for me was very, very hard to take because, God.
Well, Grant, you were a massive MJ fan back in the day.
It could have been me, mate. I could have been Wade Robson. I remember I got tickets to go and see Michael Jackson. I'd never been to a concert before. I would have been probably about the same age, probably seven, and I got crook and I couldn't make the concert. So I thought, you know what I want to do? Instead of waste these tickets, I want to donate them to charity. So I gave them to a radio station who raised some money and they gave the tickets away and the money went to charity. And then I thought, I would like to write to Michael Jackson and to tell him. I said, hi, I'm Grant Denyer and I was going to come and see your show. I'm a massive fan.
So you wanted the glory for doing something for charity.
No, I just wanted to let it... Yeah, actually, that's exactly what I was doing. I was hoping he would write back to me to invite me to meet him at some other stage.
Oh, thank the Lord
he did. In case, because I'd sit in that lounge room and I'd put his videos on and I would dance them every single day. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. Imagine he had written back to me and said, mate, oh, that's what a kind little gesture. Yeah, come and meet me at Neverland.
Oh, God.
Because that was his MO. That's how he operated, meeting kids in shopping malls, as the documentary
contest
says.
Winners. Yep, absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
The director of the doco that has everybody still talking, Leaving Neverland.
Today FM's Alpha Bucks.
Alpha Bucks. Come on, let me show you what it's all about.
Just gone 7 o'clock. This is Today FM Breakfast, and we've got another $10,000 up for grabs, Grant, right here, right now.
MC, you are absolutely spot on, and I'd be a happy chappy if it went to Peter from Wattle Grove this morning. Good morning, Peter. How you doing?
Alana.
They changed last minute.
Oh, they swapped it over on me.
Last minute.
Oh, gee. How annoyed is Peter from Wattle Grove? Alana from Wattle Grove, good morning to you. You ready to play Today FM's... What are we playing now?
Alpha Bucks.
A little bit confused there, are we?
He's a game show host. His actual job is a game show host. He's got one job. But you know what? We love him. He's got a great personality and a kind smile.
You know why I'm struggling this morning? It's because your letter is K, and I couldn't think of something to give you an example of what K might be for. And while we were chatting, I came up with kind. So that is your letter.
There you go.
Thank you.
30 seconds to answer 10 questions, and all your answers, of course, must start with K. $100 for each question, 10 grand if you can get them all. You know how it works, don't you, Alana?
Definitely.
You ready to go?
Yes.
Best of luck. Name a Simpsons character.
Oh, pass.
A snack.
Pass. Your
letter's K. An actress.
Yep. Kim Kardashian.
An appliance brand.
Pass.
Sydney suburb.
Pass. Sorry.
A bird.
A suburb, was it?
Bird. A bird.
Pass.
Movie.
Oh, God. Sorry. Pass.
Body.
Oh, darling.
Oh, no, I'm Kay, sorry. Terrible letter.
Okay, you answered one question.
I did.
Which one? Hang on, which one are they giving her? Which one are we giving Alana?
Kim Kardashian.
No, she
was in a very famous film.
She
does cameos in movies.
No, she doesn't.
She acts every week in her show.
Exactly. Her real life is acting.
Alana to go home empty-handed.
Yeah.
Is that what you're
suggesting?
Yeah, have a
if
soul,
if it means
Ed.
That Kim Kardashian isn't given for the prize, then yeah.
No, she's got $100.
Say, Alana, you yell at people when they get things wrong. How are you feeling right now?
Pretty crappy at the moment.
I'm so sorry.
You know how long I've been trying to get on and then I just get one right. So, terrible.
That's everyone ringing to say that you did a terrible job. But you've got one.
My husband, because he's probably listening and he's laughing at me on the radio.
Hey, husband.
No. Be supportive.
Love her tenderly tonight when you get home.
Wow. Steamy. $100 is yours.
You know what? For being a good sport, we're going to chuck you some tickets to go and check out Moonlight Cinema, okay? We're celebrating the 20th anniversary of 10 Things I Hate About You. Special screening, the 90s cult film. It's happening this Friday. Going to chuck you those tickets as well, okay?
Is Kim Kardashian in that?
She's
an actress? No, she's Kardashian? Oh, right, that's interesting.
Not in that one. Another chance to pick up the $10,000. Hopefully we go a little bit better tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. Now keep it here. Director of Leaving Neverland, Dan Reed. Going to chat to him before 8 o'clock. But Ed, next, this guy over here, Al Grant Denyer.
He might not have any idea what's going on at this radio show, but he does get a lot of genuine television scoops. He gave us a Married at First Sight one that is still doing the rounds. They had to come out and deny it. It was that true.
Yeah, you
and
wait to see next, what happens, mate. You wait to see what happens.
So what's your next scoop? What show is it about?
Well, Captain Scoop here has one about The Voice. They've started filming. It's coming back to Australian television. I got to say, something so controversial happened that it involves police.
Whoa.
I'll tell you next.
Is the scoop that whoever wins doesn't actually have a career in music moving forward? Because no one's ever actually done anything of merit after that show, and it's a blight on the Australian music industry.
That's not a scoop. That's just fact.
Yeah, it's so pathetic.
Welcome to the most trusted source in entertainment news. As you will remember, I got a few runs on the board last week. I revealed the stunning fact that MAFS
ends... Spoiler alert.
That's okay, though, because we're all trusted friends here. I'm bringing you to the inner circle, the stuff that only people know behind the scenes. Well, now it's time to bring it out. Maths. Boom. The reunion ends with a glassing.
We should say attempted glassing.
Let's just say it would have been a glassing had a crew member not intervened at the very last second as they were going for the prison shiv to the face.
And we need to say that they had to come out and deny it. They had. Mm. Yeah, maths themselves.
Which makes me think, I wonder whether it'll make it, I know it definitely happened, whether it'll make it into the cut or whether it's actually too extreme even for maths.
They'll edit it out because of you, Grant Denyer. You have changed the course of maths forever.
Well, let's just say I'm moving on to a new project, guys.
Here we go.
Today, I've got some news on The Voice. Back in production, some terrible things happening around the production. It's already falling apart. There's rumours that they're contacting a lot of previous contestants.
Yeah, I've heard that.
In the show, not a good sign. If you can't find fresh talent and you're having to go back through previous series and ask people back on for another crack, that ain't looking that good.
It's a bit lame, isn't it?
The Young Divas?
Yeah. I wish. I'd actually watch it if Young Divas
that
were
actually
on there.
Was a successful era.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
So that was Oz Idol.
Ah, was too.
So they're recycling contestants. So it's people you've seen before. They sucked last time. They suck again. All right. Now, what else have you got?
Get ready for this. I'm going to tell you about a disastrous day of filming on set just a couple of days ago.
This is
how bad things are happening right now. All right. So they were filming. These shows take a long time to make. They were running 3 hours over, right? And the audience had already been there for nearly 9 hours for a record.
I bet that was because Guy Sebastian hadn't rocked up yet. I love Guy more than life, but he's never on time.
He's a notorious lady.
He's always late. But then he walks in and he's so lovely that you're like, all right,
Was it because Boy George's hat was so large that it was obscuring the view for 300 of the audience?
Can you imagine clapping for 9 hours and trying to feign love for someone's incredible backstory?
Okay.
So this is what happened. It got so bad that the audience, after 9 hours and running 3 hours over time, started booing, right, in the record. So when they were... When the judges started pressing the buzzers, people were like, boo! They were revolting. So what actually happened was the staff had to lock all the doors to the recording studio.
You're kidding me.
And they manned the doors and refused to let anybody out.
Oh, gosh.
So people were trying to storm out and leave and say, you can't stop me. And they were saying, yes, we can. So they locked the doors, stood in front of the doors to block all the exits. It got so bad, the audience members started ringing the cops. So they were calling 000 at the exit saying, I'm being held against my will at Studio 3 in Fox Studios at The Voice set.
And you know what? That's actually not the first time that that phone call's been made about Boy George. Google that one.
And that was...
Google it.
Now, one of the biggest shows on Network 10 is Bondi Rescue. It's been rating well for many, many years. I love watching the old reruns. It's like I'm right there. We have one of those lifeguards in studio, Anthony Glick, a.k.a. Glick. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, man. Great to have you here. It's such a fascinating life for you boys because you see so much chaos and carnage. Like you're always like rescuing people out of like some serious situations.
Yeah, I mean, it does definitely get to you at the end of a long, busy summer day. Like, gets a bit annoying, but it all averages out to be the best job in the world. Like,
all right,
it's nice and sunny.
When you see who is, I'm going to describe someone to you and you tell me out of 10, the risk of them going into the water and perhaps not being the strongest swimmer or having any expertise at all.
Yeah, this is what I'm qualified for.
Okay, here we go. This person's just walking down past the pavilion and here they come. They're a gentleman who is from overseas. You can pick the country yourself. And they are wearing their jeans, but their jeans are rolled up a little bit and they've got no shoes on and they're wearing a singlet and they're heading towards the water. Out of 10, what is the likelihood that that person's going in and is going to need saving?
Oh, it's pretty up there, about maybe a 9. But
yeah,
you get worse. You definitely get worse.
Worse? Yeah. Who's worse?
You get worse. You get the groups of them who are in their suits and everything.
No, suits.
Not wetsuits, probably real business suits. I've had it before.
You've had to rescue someone in the water in a suit.
In a suit. It's happened.
That is ridiculous. Yeah.
And what was their lawyer? Are they trying to...
Sometimes they... drunk, you know?
Yes. Yeah, what about that idiot the other week, the guy that cost 30 grand, the British guy who went for, was it a skinny dip at night?
That's right.
I haven't heard about that one, but yeah. Okay.
You're always paying attention. Good on you, Glicky. Like it.
Yeah. I know you feature heavily in tonight's episode, I hear. What's going on, mate?
Apparently, it's a pretty funny episode, actually. Lots of weird stuff happens at Bondi, and there's a few weird things that happen.
What kind of wax spooky things?
I remember it was actually only a few weeks ago. There was like a massive, massive like a gust of wind, like it just picked up out of nowhere. Everyone left the beach, but there was like a family who just came to the beach at the wrong time.
Yeah, there's always one, isn't there?
It was pretty funny.
They just got blown away like Mary Poppins style.
Yeah, they brought their inflatable flamingo on a leash. To bring it to Bondi for a walk. It was pretty funny. I thought I was seeing things.
Now, Glick,
I was in a movie.
Just to cut in, but it says on the internet that you've got a girlfriend. Is that true?
Yes. Beautiful one.
Yeah, that's great, but that's a poor decision. you're a very attractive, interesting guy who's on television now. A lot of people getting lost in your eyes here in the office.
I'd be guilty.
Yeah, come on, mate.
Me and Grant are having a moment. Just leave us alone.
Oh, sorry.
I should leave the studio. I feel awkward just being here.
Grant, can we roll down the curtains?
Oh, wow. Look at Grant staring longingly into your belly button. That's so exciting.
I hope my girlfriend isn't listening.
You must get hit up all the time, though, because you guys are fairly desirable units. You're famous, you're hot, you're on Australia's most famous beach. Are you just being propositioned left, right and centre?
A little bit here and there, but
You say no.
I have it pretty good.
He says, no, go away. I'm taken. I take my job seriously, ladies. Yeah.
I think the one who perves on me the most is my girlfriend.
She's standing there with a taser trying to get rid of the backpackers.
Exactly.
All right, tonight it's back, Bondi Rescue. A lot of fun this show, MC.
7:30 on Channel 10. Glick, mate, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.
Thank you for having me.
The chicken's best. Go west, where the chips are fresh. Go west, Habibi, you'll be blessed. Go west,
yalla, let's get dressed. It's the best. 25 minutes to go until we open the doors at the Shed in Parramatta for the first 100 people to get a free brekkie roll. And the man, the host with the most, the owner of the Shed Cafe in Parramatta, is on the line. Morning, Sam.
Good morning, Ash. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, all mate. Right. You're so famous good. For your bacon and egg burgers, mate. You like to give them a little bit of a twist, a Shed twist, do you? How do you make them?
Yeah, mate, we use a milk bun. So it's more of a bacon and egg burger rather than a roll.
That's delicious. Yeah, that's delicious right there, Sam.
Smoky barbecue sauce.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
American cheese.
Oh. Makes sense.
Crispy bacon.
That limp, wet, sloppy bacon. It's a nice crispy. Get that crunch.
That's right. I wish you guys were here with us.
I know. It's the first Westy Wednesday I've missed out on because usually they're at lunch. But Rob Shahady is on his way. Now, he told us all about the Shed. Does he often come around and try and get some free lunch out of you, Sam?
Yeah. He hangs around like furniture here.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a bad smell.
Hard to get rid of him.
Well, he cleaned out the joint last week, mate, so get ready. You might have to throw a few extra on the hot plate.
No worries. So we're ready for him. We're ready for all the Today FM listeners. Can't wait to have all your listeners down here.
So the first 100 people through the door at 8 o'clock, the Shed Cafe in Parramatta. Where can we find you if people are not sure, even though it is an institution, Sam?
Yeah, so it's 45 Macquarie Street in Parramatta. We're under the Sky Hotel building. On the corner of Marsden and Macquarie Street in Parramatta.
Brilliant. And get there before Rob Shahady eats the entire joint. 8 o'clock, first 100 through the door. Great coffee and delicious homestyle meals in Sydney's West. Look them up on Insta. They are at The Shed Parramatta. And the director of the documentary that still has, let's be honest, the entire world talking. It's called Leaving Neverland, all about Michael Jackson. Dan Reed on the show in 15 minutes.
Can't get enough Today FM breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the catch-up podcast now.
Ladies and gentlemen. 104.1.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Today FM.
Michael Jackson's doco, Leaving Neverland, has gone worldwide. It's massive. Everybody's talking around the globe. The claims from two abuse victims are incredible, including an Australian choreographer, Wade Robson. And the outrage from fans, Michael Jackson fans, has equally caused an uproar. It's massive, isn't it, Ed?
And we are very happy to be joined by the director of Leaving Neverland, still available to view on 10 Play, Dan Reed. Hello, Dan.
Hi there, Ed.
Now, do you, I can only imagine, given the passion of MJ fans around the world right now, you must be copping a lot of hate right now.
Well, when the film was announced at Sundance, there was an immediate reaction, I'd say almost within minutes. And we had torrents of nasty emails and, you know, I didn't even go on Twitter. But it's all died down now. You know, the film's gone out in the States and in the UK and, of course, in Australia. And I know this sounds a bit corny, but the messages of hate have been replaced by messages of love and gratitude from people who really connected with the film or people who've had experiences that they can, you know, sort of make them relate to Wade and James. So it's been a real turnaround.
It's a pretty gutsy thing to do. You must have. Was there any hesitation when you heard these stories, when you decided to put the film out? Did you think, shit, what am I getting myself into?
No, because I thought this was such a, without sounding too sort of smug, I thought it was a really important, really, really important story to tell. I thought it could be of comfort to a lot of people who've also been victims of child sexual abuse, and it was like getting a big truth out there. So that was, I've always been more excited about that than kind of fearful about the risks.
While sometimes it sounds like people are still undecided or it's a 50-50 split whether some people think he's guilty or not, the details that you show in your film are so graphic and detailed. Is there any reason to doubt them at all in your eyes?
No, there isn't any reason to doubt them. I mean, I did a huge amount of digging along with, you know, quite a big research team into all the available documents for the police investigations by the Los Angeles Police Department and the Santa Barbara Sheriff back, you know, going back to 93, and we never found anything that cast any doubt on Wade or James's account. Of course, we were looking really hard for that because we didn't want to broadcast anything that was going to make us look really stupid.
You're right, Dan. I think people are starting to forget that too. Like, some of the comments that I've seen around on online about how people don't believe it, it's almost as if they're trying to pretend that you just grabbed Wade and James and stuck them down and said, hey, guys, we're just going to have a quick chat and I'm going to film it and I'm going to put it out tomorrow. That seems to be part of their defence, which is, oh, hang on a second, they're just talking. I mean, it's ludicrous, to be honest. And we actually had Brandy Jackson, who is the niece of Michael Jackson, who I'm sure you're aware of. She was on our program yesterday, and I want to play you just a little bit of what she said in defence of her uncle, if you wouldn't mind, because I think it goes to the heart of what the defenders have been saying. This is what she said. You were together with Wade Robson, is that correct? You're in a relationship with him.
That's correct, yeah. It's 7+ years. So he's got these stories that, you know, give you this really sinister image of what was taking place, but it really didn't happen that way. And that's why he doesn't mention me in this documentary, because it would kill everything he's trying to insinuate.
Dan, what do you have to say?
Well, it doesn't make a huge amount of sense. I mean, she says, she's saying they were together for 7 years. Now, he met his wife, Amanda. I'm talking about Wade now. Wade met Amanda when he was 19, or I think maybe even younger, 18 or 19. So that would have meant that Brandy was in a sexual relationship with Wade from the age of 12. Really?
Yeah.
You know, I've spoken to Joy Robson about this, and she said they were sort of childhood sweethearts, or as far as she knew anyway, and you know, she'd drop Wade off at Brandy's house, and you know, but they weren't living together, I think, at the age of 12, 13, were they? I mean, that doesn't really make much sense.
No, of course it doesn't.
And so, you know, also the intense period of Wade's, you know, it's terrible to say it, but sexual relationship with Michael Jackson was from the age of 7 to the age of 9. That was, if you like, again, to use a dreadful word, the honeymoon period, the period when they were really seeing each other a lot. And he makes it clear in the film, he didn't really see Jackson that much after that. They had occasional meetings in which, you know, they would follow the old pattern and end up having sex. But it's conceivable that he could have had other, Jackson certainly had other relationships, and Wade could have had as well. It doesn't, the fact that he was seeing, you know, like boyfriend and girlfriend with Brandy at the age of 12 or 13 doesn't mean that he wasn't seeing Jackson too. So yeah. I don't really follow the logic, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
No, nor did I. But it was. But it's, you know, you want to give people a chance, as you know, in documentary to give their side.
Bring it on. I'm keen to debunk any kind of myth that's going on out there because there's so many of them.
Did you ever approach any of the Jacksons to come on and show their side of the story in this documentary?
Well, I mean, what's their side of the story? Michael was a great guy and he would never do anything like that. I mean, that's not really, it doesn't, you know, when you're talking about a really serious crime that happened behind closed doors with no witnesses, and what's the point of bringing on a family member who's got a huge interest in defending the brand?
Michael was a great guy,
you know?
That is true.
Do you think that there must have had to have been, surely, for this level of abuse, there had to be other people complicit in it for to allow it to happen? Do you think other people knew it wasn't just Michael?
I'm positive that other people knew. Michael was surrounded by people who enabled his life, everything from, you know, picking up his underwear and little kiddies' underwear as well, according to the chambermaid's testimony. Mm. You know, security guards who were roving around all the time and, you know, obviously saw stuff. That's all on the record. Senior people around Jackson in his business, I'm sure must have known what do you think he was doing behind closed doors with all those little boys. I mean, you know, one little boy.
Sorry, continue.
Said he spent something like nearly 400 nights with Jackson, and he now claims he wasn't abused. Which, you know, that's Brett Barnes, who's an Australian, and I have to accept what he says. You know, I'm not in the business of outing anyone, but one has to wonder what people thought Jackson was doing with these little boys in bed.
Actually, on that point, Dan, because I think it's a good one to make now, because some of the famous, friends, I want to know what you would call them, of Michael Jackson, when they were young, your Corey Feldmans, your Macaulay Culkins, and your Aaron Carters, they're coming out sort of, well, not Corey Feldman, but, you know, they are some of them are still coming out in support of Jackson. I want to play you another little bit of audio if I could. This is from Aaron Carter. This is him yesterday.
Right.
This is him talking about when he was 15 with Michael Jackson.
I was 15. I hung out with Michael Jackson. I stayed at his house. I stayed in his bedroom. How am I supposed to understand that when my own personal experience with him was gentle and beautiful and loving and embracing?
I mean,
even the word embracing, I mean, it's...
Yeah, what do you make of that?
You've got to bear in mind that the age that Michael, you know, routinely lost interest in the little boys that he saw, the age that he lost interest was around 14, 15.
Yeah.
So Aaron wasn't of an age that Michael would have been interested in him anyway. But also, I mean, I understand why Aaron's coming out because there was a fake Twitter account a fake Wade Robson Twitter account that's now been taken down that kind of tweeted at him and said, oh, you know, you've got a story to tell too, Aaron. Of course he's pissed off.
God. As a documentary filmmaker, how do you feel about fake Twitter accounts going and atting people, Dan?
Well, yeah, I think, I think it's not your ordinary fan. That was quite a subtle attempt at messing with people. And you have to wonder. It feels like a proper black ops kind of technique. You have to wonder who's behind it.
Mm. Yeah. Have people, since it's aired, have people contacted you directly with more stories of kind of untoward things happening?
We've had email. Yeah, I just had an email actually from one of Michael's drivers from that period. So I haven't contacted him back yet. I think for more victims to come out, if that's what you're asking, I think it will take a longer time. You know, this is a huge step if someone is going to break their silence.
There's certainly people in his circle
that
thought things might be happening.
I do want to play you one more bit if I could, Dan, because we spoke to a Queensland policeman. Of course, Wade is originally from Queensland, who's been working in the space of chasing pedophiles both, you know, in the real world and online. I know they're both in the real world. I'm only using it as a distinction to say how his job has evolved. We spoke to him a couple of days ago about the work that he does and continues to do. And at the end, I asked him if he'd seen your film. And, this is a little bit about what he told us.
Yeah, I remember in 2008, I met an FBI profiler, an analyst, who was involved to some degree in the investigations into Jackson. And it was a categoric yes, he did it.
And that's from someone who's talking inside the law enforcement agencies, Dan, 30 years experience.
Yeah, I interviewed a lot of the guys, the investigators from 93 and 2003 to the 2 year long police investigations, and I didn't meet a single investigator who had any doubt whatsoever of Jackson's guilt. And I remember interviewing a legendary LAPD guy who's a specialist in child sexual abuse. And he said, you know, Jackson is a copybook paedophile, the way he grooms, the way, you know, all of his techniques, separating the kid from the parents and creating this sense of being unique and special. And, you know, everything he did was absolutely copybook. This is a guy who's got experience of 4,000 child sexual abuse investigations. I mean, you know, the guilt was there for all to see, and it's astonishing that he was acquitted in his criminal trial.
So we can no longer really classify him as just a misunderstood boy who never grew up, just a flat-out abuser.
That was his cover story, wasn't it? And it was very persuasive. A lot of people got taken in. He never had a childhood. That's why he had to spend every night in bed with a little boy. That doesn't make any sense, really, does it?
No. There was an astonishing bit, Dan, where you speak, you know, the jurors speak in the States afterwards, and that one juror who said that she didn't like the way that, what is it, the defense prosecution winked at her? She said, "Don't wink at me, lady."
I mean, it was so Gavin Arvizo was the little boy who changed it. Gavin's mum was a bit of a disaster in the witness box, and she basically pissed off the jury, and she's the one who was, like, wagging her finger.
Don't wag your finger.
Yeah, man. So it became all about the kid's mum, who had a sort of checkered past. And although there was plenty of good evidence that the child had been molested, that the whole trial skewed towards Jackson being the victim. And this is the extraordinary thing that the estate and the Jackson organization has done, is to portray Michael Jackson as the victim. When in fact he's a, you know, monstrous predator.
What do we do now? Like, we're a radio station, you know, we, our fans and our listeners have loved his music, you know, their whole life, and all around the world we're all trying to decide what we should do now. Should we continue to play his music or not, in your eyes?
I don't really have a view on this. I think it's a personal thing. I don't think we should ban music or burn books or do anything like that in our culture. I don't think that's a good look for us. I think if people, you know, if radio stations play his music and loads of people phone in to complain, then they'll have to take a view. Mm. You know, will people want to play his music at kiddies' birthday parties if your child is, you know, seven, the age Wade Robson was when he was molested? I don't know whether that's a nice feeling for people, but, you know, his music is part of people, sort of soundtrack to people's lives, yeah. Isn't it? It's so much part of our culture. I don't think you can rip that out. So people are going to have to listen to it, but also accept the fact that he was, you know, a terribly sick man. Mm.
Leaving Neverland is the documentary. You see it on 10 Play, made by Dan Reed with HBO. It is a quite incredible piece. So, Dan, hey, thank you for making it. It was entertaining and horrific all at the same time, but very important story. One more before I let you go, Dan. Do you reckon Jackson's record company knew about it? I mean, there were some... It's on tour that this stuff's happening. They're moving parents further away from him with bedrooms to keep him with the boys. It just, as the net got wider, I thought, does the record company know something here and they just don't want to know about it?
I don't know. I think it's very difficult all these years after to establish who knew what and when they knew it. I think, you know, Wade and James are suing the estate as well they should.
Yeah.
Because they say all these people who were in positions of responsibility look the other way while James and I, you know, these two boys were being molested and it was perfectly obvious what was going on. So that's why, and, you know, they want their day in court. They want to be able to prove to a jury or to a judge that they, you know, that these people should be held accountable and that child abuse did take place.
Yeah,
you know, that's another thing. The Jacksonites always say, oh, they're all after money, after money. You don't get money automatically when you go to court. You have to win your case. If you've won your case, it means you've proved your case in court. So, you know, let them have their day in court, get off their backs, and give them the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you, Dan Reed.
All right, mate. Thank you.
Dan Reed, director of Leaving Neverland. That entire chat as well, if you missed any of it, going to be on our podcast, and we'll have it up on our Instagram as well. We are at Today FM Breakfast. If you are concerned about your own well-being or anybody else, you can always contact Lifeline, their number 13 11 14, or at lifeline.org.au.
Miss any of Today FM Breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the catch-up podcast now.
Ladies and gentlemen. 104.1.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
Today FM.
Go west, where the chicken's best. Go west, where the chips are fresh. Go west, Habibi, you be blessed. Go west.
Westie Wednesday is currently going down at the Shed in Parramatta. Free bacon and egg rolls are going out to the first 100 people that get there between 8 and 9. the unofficial mayor of Parramatta, Rob Shahady, is down there. Good morning, Habib.
Good morning, Habibti. It's going off here. It's amazing.
Okay.
I made a big mistake. What's... I text all my first cousins to come down.
Yeah.
And we're close to selling out, but I'm trying to get some more out of them.
Already? Can you believe that? That's got to be some sort of a record, Rob.
23 minutes. 23
well,
minutes.
You know, it's Parramatta. The unofficial mayor is here. And,
That's true.
Yeah, it's going off here.
If
and
my...
I'll tell you.
Yeah, go.
The cops actually turned up because I was selling bags.
Oh, yeah.
But I think they misunderstood because I was selling bags of lead bread.
Of course. They were confused. And if my mathematics is correct, they're getting out a burger every 20 seconds at the moment at the shed. That's some good numbers.
We're going to have to keep this open. We can't. If things are going off down there so
how many
much
more are left
that hot.
How many more are left?
How many?
Well, I think we're actually nearly sold out. And the fact that they're saying it's hot, the fire alarm in this hotel has actually gone off. The Sky Suite Hotel that the shed is under. The fire brigade have turned up. It's on fire here. I love it.
Well, we've just got confirmation that we have sold out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
No, we can't. No, we have to keep it going.
We've
the party's happening.
All right, what do you reckon, Grant?
I'll have words with him. I'll do the dodgy thing. But by the way, this is across the road from the ATO. I'm a little bit nervous.
Well, we can confirm our boss has just told us we are going to pay for 50 more free breakfasts.
Actually, Rob Shahady, could you please announce that nice and loud now, because you're at the shed. Why don't you announce that as the unofficial mayor, you would like to announce there's 50 more up for grabs.
Ladies and gentlemen, as the unofficial mayor of Parramatta, I have now added to the budget an extra 50 bacon and egg rolls.
That's what he does.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Vote Rob Shahady.
He's going to be our next prime minister with policies like that.
I hope so.
Hold on, Grant, if the ATO is listening, I'm doing this for charity.
Okay, charity.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. It's a charity event.
It's charity.
All right, so you better be quick. We sold 100 out in 20 minutes, so there's an extra 50 brekkie rolls. The Shed Cafe in Parramatta. Go down, grab one, but you got to be quick because they are going like that this morning.
Can I just say, if you're thinking to yourself, I can't get to Parramatta this morning, if you're in the city, there's actually another shed across the road from us at World Square on Goulburn Street. So if you're wondering what all the fuss is and you can't get to Parramatta, maybe jump in there today as well.
We won't
they're
pay for
free,
it
but we're not paying for that but it's delicious.
Just the 50 more at the shed in Para. Unofficial mayor of Parramatta, Rob Shahady, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, mayor.
Yalla bye.
Now, it's always nice when the list of bogan traits gets updated because I think sometimes it's still that he's got a mullet and they drive it. That's old. Nah,
it's evolving, isn't it?
Yeah, it needs to be updated. And Grant, you're Australia's most glamorous bogan.
Yeah.
So,
fact.
Yeah, he says. Fact. So we've got the new list in front of us and we just want to go through a cup, pick a few at random and see how you go today, mate, just to see if your credentials are up to scratch.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Far away.
Here's one that I really like. The taking the photograph out the plane window to show to show that you're going somewhere.
You do that everywhere.
Yeah. I've got to advance that one level further. I now not only take a photo out the window, I actually draw a little person standing on the wing outside. That's now become my thing.
Oh, yeah. That is. Congrats. Next level. Jet ski ownership?
Correct.
Yep. But you've next leveled that because what were you planning to pay for?
Sound system on the jet ski.
Oh, my.
Bogue.com/Grant Denyer.
That is so excellent.
Cobblos? Do cobblos go down in your household?
That's the only thing. Oh, we do the Kraft French onion dip.
Oh, that's more done bogan. More bogan than a cold blow.
I do put ice cubes in my red wine too, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, of course you do.
Because what you guys don't realise is wine is designed to be a temperature in Europe in winter, not Aussie summer. So, of course, it should have a cube in there. Hello, Northern Hemisphere.
So if you went to Italy in the summertime and you got a bottle of Chianti, they'd be putting ice cubes in it.
Bloody oath I do.
I doubt it, though.
Particularly if it's an ice cube that's got those shapes, like a little shape, like a star or something.
Brother.
You've never been past
classy.
Bali. You've never been to Italy, so you wouldn't even know, Dal.
He's been to Italian restaurants in Bali.
You know what made me laugh is, you know, they say they reckon another sign is when you wash me in the back window of a dirty car.
Yeah.
I do that, but it's never wash me.
Yeah, you draw, don't you?
Dick and balls. Oh,
yep. Dick and balls. You're my hero.
You didn't have to say what it was.
Yeah, we all knew.
People knew. There's
nothing subtle about a bogan, though.
What about right, a fork? Exactly. What about asking for a fork? Any Asian restaurant asking for a fork? You getting the fork, buddy?
You know what? It's worse than that. And I can't help it. I've tried to stop it with the help of my wife, but I do a hybrid accent when I'm ordering.
No.
To try and meet them all right. halfway. No.
All right. You know what I mean? Okay,
subtle racism, that's bogan.
Let's say we can't do it.
It's not
we actually it. Can't do that. All right, well, let's say, no, we're not going to do the hybrid, are we?
How's this story in the news? A lady got on a plane, took off, was in the air before realizing, crap, I have a kid. I've left my baby at the airport. And I would absolutely do this. I did this with my luggage once. Yeah. I left my whole bag in the in the lounge. I just had my passport and my wallet.
I think that would happen, but leaving another human that's normally attached to your hand.
Yeah, I'm pretty crap,
in neck level. Imagine knocking on the captain's door going, do you mind if we just turn this big thing around?
But lost kids is a scary thing. I was at the Clovelly a couple of days ago, the pub having dinner. There was a frantic mum running around looking for a kid and no one was helping her, first of all, which really? I think is pretty crap.
That's not good.
Yeah, I know. Like, come on, community, rally around. And I was like, what's she wearing? What's her name? And me and AB helped. We're running around. This little 18-month-old had climbed up the steps to the second level, so proud of herself. Mum's crying. But I felt sick for that. It was 3 minutes maybe, and I'm not even a parent, but his mind starts going through all the possible scenarios. It's terrifying.
Well, it used to be just I'll find them, and now you go, okay, have they gone on the road? But then your mind starts wandering into really dark territory really quickly. Has someone kidnapped the child?
Have you had
but
a situation?
Often, though, in these situations, it does end up with there they are.
Yeah, yeah. But exactly. It's usually they're hiding.
Yeah, they hide. They do.
Scouty does. We'll go to Kmart and then Shezzy will look around and she's gone and then all of a sudden, you know, we're having to make announcements and she's still hiding in the rack of clothes waiting for her mum to find her.
Yeah, Scout needs one of those monkey backpacks.
Yeah.
She needs a lead.
Yeah, it's not a lead, it's a tail.
So, on 13 10 60, where did you lose them?
Mm.
Where did you lose the kid?
And were they being a little...
Yeah, exactly.
Just hiding.
Who found them for you? Or where'd you find them? Where'd you lose them? 13 10 60. I haven't lost Arnold as yet. He stays pretty close.
Mm.
But
how do you reckon the EXO will react when you are the responsible one that loses the child?
No, it won't be me because she's always looking at her phone.
Oh,
yeah, got to dig in.
Ouch.
There's a dig.
Someone's getting a Tiff XO to the face when they get home.
Did you lose your kid? 13 10 60. And look, it could be a painful memory to rehash. So, I mean, comfort eating's going to help out. So we'll chuck you some dinner at Char Grilled Charlie's. And if you go...
If I was to go, what would I say to the people working behind the counter?
You tell them Ed sent you and then just reap the rewards.
It's unofficial, but okay.
Did you lose your kid? 13 10 60. Chat to you after Pink.
We are talking about losing kids. Now, I'm yet to parent a child, but this is something I already stress about because I once boarded a plane and left all my luggage behind in a lounge, and I just read that this lady did that, but with a baby. Pretty much the same thing, I think.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
You don't have to feed a suitcase. So it's not quite the same.
Who's lost a kid? Charlene, Baulkham Hills. Where did you lose the kid, Charlene?
I lost her in Parramatta Westfield, like one of the biggest shopping centres.
It's a classic.
And how long were you separated?
It felt like forever. So I'd taken her to watch Dora. There was a Dora show on the stage on that lower ground. Then after the show, we went upstairs and there was like a colouring in table or something near the cinema end. And she disappeared. Like,
we're talking 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
It was at least 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh, God.
How panicked were you?
I was frantic. I was, like, running around, call security. And, so we had security helping me look for her.
And where was
running
she?
Running around trying to find her. She had taken herself to the other side of that level so she could look down through the glass to watch the second Dora show.
She loves Dora.
She loves
She's
Dora.
Obsessed with Dora. Emma and Grace Danes, where did you lose your 2.5-year-old?
It was the same... Parramatta Maya.
Parramatta Maya. Okay, how old was the kid?
She was nearly three, but she literally, I went up to the counter counter to pay for whatever, and she was right next to me, and the next minute she's gone.
Oh, God.
And she's a private pooer, so she was actually hiding in the clothes rack, and even while I was screaming for her to, you know, find her, security asked them to block the doors, told them what she was wearing, and in the end, I smelt her out.
Oh, did you? And when you peeled back the clothes just to find her, did she go, shut the door?
That is so
cute. It was just a look of, what are you doing? I'm privately pooing.
I love that. She's just having a moment. Good on her. Trish in Richmond, what happened?
Yeah, I left my 3-year-old on the high chair finishing his meal at Coco Cabana at Rouse Hill.
You just left?
We just left. My girlfriend and I got up, we paid, I got in the car.
Oh, my gosh.
Out of the car, went to reverse, I look at the back and I thought, oh, crap, he's not in the car seat. So as we're running down, the waitress is running out saying, I was going to tell you, you forgot your son. And everyone eating just looked at me.
Like, the judgment.
Did Mama have a couple of Chardonnays over that meal?
When I got home, yeah.
Yeah. Good on you, Trish.
That hurts. Michelle in Maryland. Now, you got lost, did you, Michelle?
Yeah, I did. I was like scout renowned for hiding in the clothes racks in Kmart. And my mum was jumping into all the clothes racks trying to find me, but it actually turned out a woman had picked me up, and she was taking me back to her car. Security stopped her in the car park because I was kicking and screaming and carrying on that I wanted my mum.
Security
rescued me and took me back to her.
How lucky that security, you know, were on top of it.
I know, because, you know, these days a screaming kid, people are just like, you know, shut that kid up. But,
what was your mum's reaction? Was she like so vigilant after that growing up?
Well, yeah, I didn't leave her side after that. She would always tell me that I was forever just holding on to her, even if she was going out to the letterbox, I would go with her. So I think that pulled her even more. But she didn't actually tell me until I was about 22 that this had happened.
It's like traumatic.
Oh, my Lord. That's it. I'm going to get one of those electronic ankle bracelets for Arnold. That is, it's full-time house arrest for him now. That's scary.
Yeah. Having kids is scary, man. So much to remember, like, take them with you.
I know.
From the restaurant.
So true.
We had a record-breaking morning today. Westy Wednesday, the Shed in Parramatta. 150 free brekkie rolls were given out a la Rob Shahady, the unofficial mayor of Parramatta. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. Wow, it's been mayhem out here. 100 plus GST bacon and egg rolls.
The line was out the door, Darl.
Yeah, and I was campaigning for my I'm trying to become the official mayor, so I was campaigning, kissing dogs as well.
Oh, that's kissing dogs. Normally it's babies, but that's fine.
Yeah, there's dogs here. Dogs turned up.
You're a popular mayor, mate. A lot of happy customers just loving the hell out of those rolls.
They love it, man. There's rolls everywhere here. So, and it's happening out west. I don't know where we're going next week, but I'm excited.
Now, tell me something. As the unofficial mayor of Parramatta, you can now close this official event. That is now over. All of the rolls have been handed out. Thank you to you and the Shed, of course. But there's a lot of other stuff's going on in the west, Rob Shahady.
Yeah, this weekend, it's the Battle of the West. It's Parramatta Eels versus the Penrith Panthers. So it's the Battle of the Westies. So as a celebration, I think the players aren't going to play in footy boots. They're actually going to wear UGG boots.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a great idea. That'll cover their electronic ankle bracelets. Excellent.
Yeah.
You'll obviously be going for Parramatta, Rob.
Yeah, and the Penrith cheerleaders will be wearing, like, flannos.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Touch. The more they cover up, the better, I think, at this point for those Penrith girls. Good on them.
Yeah, so it's a big weekend for the West. So hopefully the Eels will win, but we'll see. We'll see.
All right, Rob Shahady, unofficial mayor of Parramatta, thank you so much for performing your civic duties today. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
And if there are any other places you reckon we should head for Westy Wednesday next week, get your suggestions in early. Shoot us a DM on Instagram. We are at TodayFM Breakfast. Guys, big show happening tomorrow.
Yeah, the Joe Bros. Do you know who the Joe Bros are, Ed?
Joe Bros. They are the Jonas Brothers, of course.
Well done.
Nick, Curly and Mo.
No. Nick, Kevin and Joe. Close.
Actually, it was pretty close.
Wow. Yeah, it was actually. And financial expert Effie Zahos. I'm really excited for this. I've been reading her book, The Real Girl's Guide to, I think it's called Money. Really good. I feel like I'm very smart.
Got lots of questions for her tomorrow?
I got so many. Well, as we know, at 32 years old, I do have $14,000 in superannuation. So she probably could give me a couple of tips. Yeah, yeah. She's the editor of Money Magazine. Yeah. She knows what she's talking about.
You see her on the Today Show a lot as well. Almost every day she's on there. So she's got great advice. So we're going to milk her for it.
Yeah, for free. Yes.
Can't get enough Today FM breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the catch-up podcast now. Ladies and gentlemen. 104.1.